Good morning. Welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today for the offering of this Mass on the second Sunday of Lent. And a particular welcome to those that are our catechumens and candidates who've been preparing for being received into the Church at the Easter Vigil. I have a special blessing, the rite of sending with you today, and then to go forth to meet Bishop Slattery later this afternoon at Holy Family Cathedral. Our condolences today go to two of our parish families for recent deaths that have occurred. Mary Ann Santangelo died on Monday at the age of 94. Her funeral arrangements will take place out of state. And also our condolences to Monica Barber, the death of her brother yesterday after a long illness. And his funeral arrangements also will be taking place out of state. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Please know that I'll be available to hear confessions this Tuesday evening from 6 to 7, and also on Wednesday evening from 5:30 to 6. We were going to have, beginning today, the start of our pastoral planning process with an in-pew survey, given what the roads are like and the weather, since we want to hear from as many voices as possible. We figured best to start that survey next weekend rather than today. Also next weekend, if you want to be at Mass or anywhere else on time, it would be a good idea that next Saturday night you set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Remember, spring forward, fall back. And also, please know, on Tuesday, there is a bond issue election for the Tulsa Public Schools. I ask you to please inform yourself about what the bond issues are about and then to vote your conscience. At 4,972 feet above sea level, Black Mesa is the highest point in Oklahoma. It is atop a plateau that it is literally at the very end of the panhandle. It is about 425 miles west of Tulsa and less than 2 miles east of New Mexico. You're actually in another time zone. You're on mountain time by the time you get to that plateau. Now, I have been to the top of that mesa 3 times. There is about an 8.5 mile round trip, hiking trail that takes you from the level of the surrounding plains, takes you up an elevation about 800 feet to the top of the mesa. It is one of the driest and harshest environments in the state. It's also a place, at least to me, of beauty. The state flag, that blue that's in the state flag of Oklahoma, that's how blue the sky is at Black Mesa. It's just a beautiful thing, even in the midst of a very dry environment. I'm sure right now a very cold environment as well. But there is a place of beauty and also that silence that's there on top of the mesa. I think there's something about high places that attracts us. And I think for some reason, particularly men, like to climb up on top of things. It fires our imagination. High places that are the dominant geographical feature of an area. Now here in Tulsa, we could point to 2 dominant features. One is the Arkansas River. The second, I would say, Turkey Mountain. That urban wilderness area is very popular for hiking and running and mountain bikes. Now I have to say, being born and raised in Oklahoma City, when I think of a dominant geographical feature, I can't think of any. It's pretty flat. There is that ditch called the North Canadian River that occasionally has water in it, but I wouldn't really count that as having been born and raised there, I would not count that as a dominant geographical feature. But when there's a high point, there seems for us a desire to climb up on top and to survey our surroundings. To survey the surroundings is good. But I think there's more going on in the scripture readings that greet us on this second Sunday of Lent. We began the special time of prayer in preparation for Holy Week and Easter by taking on that traditional mark of penance, that mark of the cross on Ash Wednesday, a mark of humility, of faith, and of hope, saying publicly that we are sinners in need of God's mercy and forgiveness that is found only in Jesus Christ. And last Sunday in the Gospel at Mass, we heard of Jesus in the desert for 40 days. That is our model of the 40 days of Lent. And in these days, we express through prayer, fasting, acts of penance and of charity, a desire to be washed clean of sin, to be made new in Christ. And now, on the second Sunday of Lent, we move from the desert to the mountaintop. That dominant feature, where we go not only to survey the surroundings, but also to encounter what is beyond the ordinary and the day-to-day. That image of the mountaintop appears repeatedly, not only in the scriptures, but elsewhere. In colonial America, there was the idea that that what later becomes the United States is going to be that city set on a hill, that shining example of liberty and freedom to the rest of the world. We hear in the Old Testament, Moses on top of Mount Sinai received the Ten Commandments from God, the beginning of the Exodus. And at the end of, towards the end of the Exodus, Moses climbs up another high place, Mount Nebo. And he sees from there the promised land. He knows he's not going to get to go into it, but he can see it at a distance. It's that very image that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Alluded to when he spoke about seeing the promised land. He says, I've been up to the mountaintop. I can see the promised land of the fulfillment of the civil rights movement. He says, I may not get there with you, but I know we're going to get there soon. He was assassinated the next day. Prophetic words. In the New Testament, we hear Jesus as the risen Christ. 40 days after the resurrection, he ascends back to God the Father from atop the Mount of Olives. It's a ridge near the city of Jerusalem. In today's first reading, we hear of Abraham and Isaac. They go to a high place to offer sacrifice. And it's at that location, it's believed that the temple in Jerusalem is later built, that place of sacrifice. And today, the Islamic shrine of the Dome of the Rock sits on that same location, that place of sacrifice. There's another one as well in the New Testament called Golgotha or Calvary. Jesus is crucified on a slightly elevated place outside of the one of the main gates of the city of Jerusalem. On the second Sunday of Lent, in the Gospel reading, we move from that desert to the mountaintop. In Mark's Gospel, the way it is structured, Jesus has just told his disciples what's going to happen when they get to Jerusalem, how he will suffer the passion. He will be crucified. He'll be raised up on the third day. And then he takes three of his disciples to the mountaintop. And there, for a brief moment, they see him revealed fully in his divinity. And with Moses on one side, the prophet Elijah standing on the other, showing that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law of Moses. He's the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. He's the fulfillment of the words of the prophets. And there, Peter, James, and John witness what is beyond the ordinary and the day-to-day. And we call this event the Transfiguration. And as what often happens on a mountaintop, if the weather's good, you can see very clearly. In the Transfiguration, we see that vision of the divinity of Jesus fully revealed. We also see the vision also of his humanity fully revealed, and ours as well. It is in this vision of who we really are. When the Word of God becomes flesh to dwell among us, when God the Son, Jesus, humbles himself to take on our humanity so that we can share in his divinity. This is the meaning of the Incarnation, which we celebrate at Christmas. And now, in our annual preparation for Holy Week and Easter, we have the vision of the Transfiguration. From there, we can survey the surroundings. We are invited to see once again who we are created to be, who we are to be transfigured into by divine grace, to be beloved sons and daughters of God, to be disciples of Jesus, to be temples of the Holy Spirit. That's our primary identity. Everything else comes second. And it is done by the grace of our baptism. We enter into this grace of baptism, the promises of which we are going to renew on Easter Sunday. in this time of Lent. We do penance for the sin of not believing who we really are, of not acting out of who we truly are. Along with the penance, our prayer and devotions and acts of charity, they are to be a purification of our mind and heart in order to receive this vision of the transfiguration in our own lives. That's why Lent being a time of penance, it's also a time of hope. To encounter who Jesus is. To encounter who we really are in Jesus. Particularly today in the Eucharist. To listen to that voice in the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, listen to Him. Listen to Him in prayer. Listen to Him in the Scriptures. Listen to Him in the sacraments. Listen to Him in those moments of grace, of mercy, forgiveness, reconciliation that touch our lives and transform us into who we truly are." As St. Paul tells us today, "The God who did not spare His own Son, but handed Him over for us all, so as to intercede for us, to reveal to us the vision of who He is and who we are to be. For the one true God does not desire the blood of children shed in an act of worship." And as horrific as it sounds, in the time of Abraham, amongst the people in which he is living with, that's a common practice. The firstborn child, particularly if it's a son, is slaughtered, offered as a sacrifice or a deity that the tribe or clan worships. So certainly we see in this action of Abraham today, and to use a modern phrase, we can say that he's all in about being faithful to the covenant with God, but we also see something else, because Isaac is not sacrificed. The pagan gods demand the blood of children. The one true God does not. The one true God instead offers us the gift of the Son. It is the Son of God who becomes the sacrifice for us. Through His bloodshed, we are transformed. That sacrifice at that elevated place called Calvary upon the cross, it is He who is given to us that we offer in return our sacrifice of thanksgiving in the Mass. Have you ever noticed that in most Catholic churches, the altar is the highest point? It's elevated. We have three steps here. It's not so you can see things better. That's good that you can, but the altar is an elevated place of sacrifice, of our praise, our thanksgiving, our love in response to the sacrifice of love made by Jesus for us in the Lord's Supper and upon the cross. For it is in Jesus, in His cross and resurrection, that is to be the dominant feature of our lives. The glory of His divinity and the fullness of our true humanity are revealed in the vision of the transfiguration. And may this vision guide us in these 40 days of Lent to Holy Week and to Easter.